Book of John, chapter 5. Occasionally, I'll come home at night, kind of late, sometimes after church on Wednesday night, and I'll have my hands full of stuff, and so I don't want to get my key out of my pocket, and so I'll knock on the door. And then Shay comes to the door, and what do you think she does first? Right. Very good. Who's there? Who is it? She just wants to check. Then I usually say, it's me. Open the door. My hands are full. Hurry up. And then what does she do?
Walk away.
No. No. She peeks out to see it's really me. And then she opens the door. And then when I come in, she realizes, hey, it's really him. Well, the reason I'm saying that is because in the Bible, in a sense, Jesus came to his own and his own knew him not. The Bible tells us that his sheep know his voice. And Jesus is speaking to our world. Jesus speaks to us individually. Jesus is knocking at the door. The question is, are we recognizing his voice? Are we recognizing him? See, in the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's how the Bible starts out. In the beginning, God. No need for an explanation of who he was and no need to look at his credentials. No need to prove who he was because in the beginning, God. Everything that was after God came flowing from God. Just as if you look up here and see this pulpit, you would have to know it. It just logically has a beginning. Somebody had to put this together. It just didn't occur. It just makes sense. We all know that. No need for explanation. But in Genesis chapter 3, then we see the fall of man, the separation of God and man. From that point on, man had a harder time recognizing God. He had a harder time understanding God. He had a harder time knowing who God was. And so from that point on, we see God trying to speak to man in various ways, in different times, trying to get the attention of man. That in itself to me is an incredible thing to think that God is continually working to show himself to us. It's an incredible thing. Be easy in my mind for just to think in the beginning, God, I am God. Now do with me what you will. It's up to you. He didn't just leave us there. He went on to try to get man's attention, to try to speak to man. It brings us all the way up to Jesus' ministry on earth, the fulfillment, the manifestation of God to us on earth. Genesis chapter 1, all the way up now, John chapter 5. Jesus comes onto the scene. The book of John is a book written to explain and show and prove what? The deity of Christ. That Christ was God. Everything about him was God. Everything that he did, spoke, everything that he performed, seven signs, seven I am statements, seven witnesses, all these things proving that he is God. So we can make no mistake about it. Because given the hardness of man's heart, given the complexity and the distractions of our world, we can easily miss that knock on the door. We can easily miss the voice of God. We can easily miss the testimony of God's word, the prophecies of God's word. We can easily miss that Jesus was God. That was the condition of the people in that day and age. They were not recognizing the very manifestation of God himself on earth, the one and only Messiah, Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at a message that we called the resume of Jesus. Jesus making claims and statements that nobody else could ever make, proving his deity, proving that he was different than any other human being, any other prophet, any other creation that walked the face of the earth. He was different. And that brings us to today. What do you put at the end of a resume? That last page. Yes? What's that? Your name. Usually put that in the front. References. Very good. References. Thus, today's message, the Jesus' references. He made these bold claims, so what are his references? Let's take a look at it. John chapter 5, verse 31. The references of Jesus. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What does that mean? If I told you that this morning I woke up at 6 o'clock, and I really did, I didn't, but just if I did, does that make it not true if somebody else didn't say, I woke up at 6 o'clock? No. So what is Jesus saying here? If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Well, Jesus is bearing witness of himself, so does that make his witness not true? No. What he's saying is his witness about himself, according to their laws, according to the book of Deuteronomy, you need two or three witnesses to validate something. He's talking about validation. He understands their thinking. Does Jesus need anybody to validate him? Absolutely not. And this, to me, is just the grace and the mercy of the Lord, that he's almost playing our game. He's almost bringing himself so far down to our level that we just have missed him so much, to our humanity, that he understands, okay, because I want you to know me so bad, I'm going to speak to you like you need to be spoken to. Has God ever done that to you? I think he speaks to all of us, maybe in different ways because of our personalities and the way we're made up. He speaks to us individually, just where we are. I love that about our Lord. But here he's saying, you're not going to receive it because I know your law. I know in Deuteronomy, I know it says you need the validation of two or three witnesses. So I'm going to play your game. So here's what he says in verse 32. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. John the Baptist. Verse 34, yet I do not receive testimony from man, here's the key, but I say these things, why? That you may be saved. That's why he's playing our game. You see the grace and the mercy of the Lord? He could have just left it in the beginning, God. Make your choice. It just makes sense. There has to be a creator. I am God. Everything you see around you speaks of me. But he didn't just leave it there. He keeps working on our behalf to make himself known so we can be saved. Verse 35, he was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. That's our first reference, John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus when Jesus came to be baptized by John? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sins of the world. That's his testimony. So John's testifying, John the Baptist, testifying that Jesus is God, is the one in whom the prophets spoke about, is the one in whom people were waiting to come to what? Take away the sins of the world. John bore witness of that. What does it say about John? Does it say that he was the light? No, it says he was the lamp. Notice that word in there. He was the lamp. The lamp is something that reflects the light, or something that holds the light, a vessel that holds the light. But John chapter 1 tells us what? Jesus was the light. John bore witness of that. John's ministry in itself bore witness of what the Old Testament prophets talked about. There would be one coming to make straight the way of the Lord, one to come as a forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord. His ministry was accepted. People accepted his ministry. Everything was fine at that time. The religious establishment, they came to check him out for sure. What's going on with this guy? This wacko, locust-eating, honey-dipping hairy, strange clothes wearing guy. He was doing the ministry of the Lord. They go out and check him out. Fine. Everything's fine at this point. Why? John even rebukes them. He rebukes the religious establishment for their arrogance and their pride and not repenting from their sins. But still, at that point, they're okay. Why? Because the world could embrace a Messiah on their own terms, in their own image. A Messiah that would do what they wanted him to do. You see, for the Jew, the Messiah was going to bring world dominance politically, was going to set the Jewish nation up as the controlling nation of the world once again, because at this time, the nation of Rome controlled the world. Great, John would say, the Messiah is coming, great. We can be in charge of again. We can rule again. Great. That's fantastic. I'm going to benefit in this world from that. But Jesus didn't come to do that, did he? He came first and foremost so that we can be benefited for eternity. You got to get first things first, don't you? What good would it do if we're benefited in this world or set up in this world, yet for all eternity lost? What does it help if we've gained the entire world but lose our soul? What good is that? Jesus came to save sinners. That wasn't a message that was accepted. Why? There's a certain pride involved here in a person that is not willing to recognize and realize, gosh, I need help. I'm a sinner. I can't do it on my own. That was one of the major sins that was going on here, is people were unwilling to bow their knee in humility to receive help from God, to have their sins washed away. First reference, John the Baptist, he bore witness of that light. That light came, fulfilling that Old Testament prophecy. What's our next reference? Look at verse 36. I have a greater witness than John's. For the works of which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Second reference, his actions, his works. There's one work. There's the ultimate work that bears testimony of who Jesus is. That's the resurrection. It's one sign I'll give you. This one sign that'll prove who I am. And if this doesn't happen, everything else, Paul would say, is you might as well forget about it. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, everything else is worthless and empty and vain. That's the one of the distinguishing characteristics of Christianity than all other religions, proving that Jesus was the one and only Savior of the world. But there are all these other little signs to point to that resurrection sign that he did. In the book of John, there's seven specific signs that point to Jesus being the Messiah. All those signs are pointing to Jesus being the Messiah. Every miracle was done in an effort to prove that he was Messiah. His miracles were different than a lot of what we may see today on TV or different type of ministries. His ministry and his miracles were all to bear testimony and witness that he was the Messiah. That's why he did them. He didn't do them to gain a crowd. In fact, a lot of times he'd go away from the crowd when he'd do these miracles. He didn't want to make a big show about this. But he wanted his miracles to prove that he was the Messiah. That was the whole point. And so he'd conduct these miracles. They are always done to benefit somebody, never himself. Never did a miracle that would gain something for himself personally. All his miracles were done to help people. And so as we work through the Gospels, we see Jesus healing sick people, healing lepers who were not able to be healed by anything else. We see him giving sight to the blind, giving speech to those who couldn't talk. We see him walking on water, calming the storms, hushing the winds. We see Jesus doing these miracles. They're all done to say, I am the Messiah. My works demonstrate what I do is what my Father in heaven would do. I'm an extension of my Father in heaven here on earth, and what I do, that's what He does. Why did Jesus do these signs? The book of John, that we might believe. Are signs in themselves evidence of deity? Need to be careful about this. Because we hear about and we see so-called signs and things and people doing different things. And signs in themselves are not a proof that Jesus is God, sign in themselves, or that anybody else is. Why do I say that? Well, the Bible tells us there's going to come a one in the last days called the Antichrist who comes with signs and wonders. He's going to do things that would cause people to believe in Him. So we take the signs and we put them in context with everything else that's happening. We put them in context with all the other references and all the other things that He did. And so, Jesus' works, the greatest work is when He's on the cross and He said, it is finished. My work is finished. That's the work of redemption, the work of forgiveness. And that's where He did our propitiation for our sins. He washed away our sins on the cross. That's why He came. Restoring that covenant relationship that He had in the back in the Old Testament. That God and man could be one together again. Could be close, could be intimate, could be fellows in fellowship. That's what He did. What's the next reference we have? John chapter 5, verse 37. Our next reference is the Father, verse 37. And the Father Himself who sent Me has testified of Me. You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form, but you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, Him you do not believe. The Father, on three occasions, bore witness of Jesus being the Messiah, being His Son. One we saw in the baptism of Jesus. In the baptism of Jesus, what happened? The voice that this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. There are people around that heard this. This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. Also, we see in John 12 at the cross, the Father speaking about the Son. And also, we see in the Transfiguration in Matthew 17, speaking of Jesus being the Messiah. The Father bore witness. But is that the only place He bore witness? No. The Father bore witness through the Old Testament prophets. All speaking of Jesus. All pointing to Jesus. All pointing to the coming of Jesus. And that's what's great about reading the Old Testament. Is it points all to Jesus. Amazing prophecies, perfect prophecies, detailed, specific prophecies about this coming one that Jesus fulfilled. And yet there are still many who Jesus is knocking at the door. And He's not being let in because people don't know who He is. They don't recognize Him. They don't understand. Jesus sits and knocks. I like that scripture in the book of Revelation. You guys all know it. You're shaking your heads. I stand at the door and knock. Whoever would open the door, I would dine with him and he'll dine with me. But you're not going to open the door if you don't know who's there. You hear the knocking. And I believe we all hear the knocking. I don't believe a person on the face of this earth doesn't hear the knocking. But I do believe a lot of people ignore the knocking. A lot of people don't care about the knocking. A lot of people are too distracted in their houses to open the door. The distractions of this world. What's our last witness? What's our last reference? Look in verse 39. The reference of God's Word. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. I love that. The Scriptures testify of Jesus. I've been going through the Old Testament on Wednesday night, and you can't help but right away notice the references to Jesus. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, talking about the plan of redemption where the serpent's head will be crushed by the seed of a woman. You move on through the Old Testament. You see Abraham being a picture or type of Jesus. You see Isaac being a picture or type of Jesus. You see Moses being a picture or type of Jesus. You see all these incidences and stories all relating back to this one Messiah. And then you see the prophets speaking of this Messiah. Then you see the fulfillment of that Messiah. Where does that put us? Where does that put the rejecter in our day and age? Having the weight of all this behind us now. See, we're in a little bit different category than the audience in Jesus' days. Because now we have 2,000 years.